The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. This content is created in partnership with our sponsor, Pentec Pty Ltd, ABN 596-1893-5265, and is limited to publicly available information. Before acting on any general advice, you should consider whether appropriate and obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license and does not provide any financial advice or services or endorse any general advice. If a PDS or IM exists, you should obtain a copy and review it thoroughly before making a decision.
Welcome to our two-part series on technology and implementation in financial advice, because choosing the right tech is only half the story. How you design it, connect it, and make it work in your business is what really drives client experience. Join me, Sasha Ludkowski, and our guests as we explore how to design, implement, and get real value from your tech.
Plutusoft is a leading Australian CRM and end-to-end financial planning system built specifically for financial advice practices. The financial planning software supports the full advice process, from fact-finding and modelling to document generation and delivery, through a single integrated system. Additionally, Plutusoft offers a client-facing portal. Trusted by advisors nationwide, Plutusoft helps practices reduce administrative overhead, accelerate advice production, and enhance client engagement. The system continues to evolve through customer-driven innovation and a commitment to simplifying the advice journey, offering integrations with technologies such as Microsoft, CDM solutions, Anature and ClickSend, as well as data feeds from the industry's leading platforms.
Welcome to Episode 2 in our two-part series on technology options and implementation to enhance your client experience. I'm Sasha Ludkowski, and today we're considering the other side of new technology in your business, the implementation and change management. This is that make it or break it stage when it comes to introducing a new software into your business. Our two guests are going to share their experiences and give us a behind the scenes look at what switching advice tech really involves. So I'm joined by Chloe Liao, Practice Manager of Byfield Wealth Management, and Leanne Bogoev, Head of Customer Success at Plutusoft. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. So look, I always like to start my episodes off by getting to know our guests. So Chloe, can you give us a 60-second introduction on your journey in financial advice and what your role at Byfield entails?
Yep, sure. My name's Chloe. As Sasha said, I am the practice manager here at Byfield Wealth. I've been in the industry for about 14 years. I've done different roles within the business. I started off as client service manager, did some advising in between, went back to my roots of like legal side of things, which is compliance. And then now I'm in practice management, which of a self-licensing business, that's what we do. So my current role involves operations, HR, and processes behind the scenes. So yeah, that's what I currently do.
Excellent. Thank you. So you're going to be a very valuable asset to today's podcast. So Leanne, also welcome to the podcast. So Leanne, I was looking a little bit through your bio that you gave me, and you were a financial advisor who co-founded Plutusoft. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about your journey and what led to that transition advisor to advice tech?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, firstly, thank you very much for having me on board. You're spot on. I was an advisor. Prior to that, I actually started my career as a chartered accountant and then, moved over to the bright side in financial planning world. So I actually joined a financial planning business that was family run. And in that business is where we basically started Plutusoft. So we felt the need to achieve more scale and more efficiency. We weren't getting that with the system we had at the time. So we developed Plutusoft internally, and then it became a secret too good to hold true. And we decided that we wanted to help lots of other financial planners who walk, are on the similar journey to us. So we decided to commercialize Plutusoft, and here we are.
Yeah, amazing. Well, we're going to talk a bit more about that as well today. So look, let's get into what the advisors want to hear, right? So this is a question for both of you, but I'll start with yourself, Chloe, and get your thoughts. I guess one of the big questions for me is, why does switching software feel so overwhelming compared to some other business decisions? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's because the software itself is actually not just a tool, right, that we use. It's actually embedded into a lot of our processes. You have compliance in there. You have our workflows in there. You have our advice components in there. So it's not as simple as like, oh, it's a tool that's no longer working. Let's switch it out. It actually impacts a lot of our day-to-day activities. And I think the other big thing that we find it difficult to overcome is because you're learning, it's psychological as well. You're learning a whole new process. You're basically, from a perspective of someone that has experience in the current software, shifting to something that's quite unknown requires a lot of acceptance into, I guess, getting rid of what they currently know and then accepting a new whole process. It's like their identity, sorry, that's what I was trying to say. It's like,
yeah,
reality.
Yeah, 100%. I honestly, that's a really deep answer. That I actually have never thought about it in that sort of way. I mean, when you think about change management, the whole piece of change management, we will talk about this at length today, but it is, it's as much a psychological change and not forgetting everything that you've known, but moving past it. And I think that can be we know it can be a really big hurdle for some people. So Leanne, on your side of things, does that resonate with your experience? How do you manage that for some of your clients who want to do this sort of transition?
Absolutely. Look, I think human beings by their very nature are wired to resist change. And when it comes to software, I think that just hits every nerve, particularly for financial planners. Because as Chloe said, it is the bread and butter of your whole sort of business. All your processes basically revolve around the software, whatever capability or limitations it has. And you sort of start to build up this whole, I guess, legacy of processes and everyone sort of thinks day to day, operationally, this is how we do things. Often advisors will know and recognize the need for change, but it feels so overwhelming. It feels like such a bridge too far because they're posed with these questions. Well, what will happen to my data? And have I created too much dependency and legacy in my system now? And how will my staff cope? What's going to be the disruption to the business? Yeah. And is it better the devil I know? So they're all very, very valid questions. But these are the sorts of things that I guess make advisors often very fearful of the idea of change. And the longer they sort of await that decision, the more sort of build up and the further and that bridge sort of becomes, it becomes harder to sort of jump and jump over to that next step, to speak. So, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Really good insights. Thank you so much. And so something that you said just then, Leanne, you know, a lot of advisors know and recognize the need to change. It's just how we go about that and make sure that the change that we implement is effective and efficient, right? So for yourself, Chloe, you know, thinking back to that decision before you made the switch or the decision to make the switch, what were two or three of the biggest frustrations in your existing system at that time that made you and the business realize that something did have to change?
I think for us is alignment, like as well with our current, it felt like what we were doing couldn't get us to where we needed it to be. Whilst the process wasn't broken at all, we knew that there was a better way to do things. On top of it, yes, cost was also a factor in it, right? With the lack of servicing that we were receiving. So weighing that up, plus knowing that things can be done better, and also receiving feedback from our existing team that they want to do things better, made us really consider the switch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you for that insight. Because, you know, one of the things I often wonder is, you know, human beings can put up with a lot when we think about this psychological stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And we can make the because if the process is good, then the system will just make it work. And just to hear that there was a few key factors for your business that made you decide to make the switch. And especially, and this came up a lot in episode one as well, which was the user experience, right? So, you know, it's often the power planners, the administration team, that sort of thing that are really using these, like really using these systems. And so what's their experience? What's their feedback? And if they, you know, collectively identify a really good case for change, it can be really important to listen to that. So that came up a bit in episode one. So then, Leanne, from your vantage point, you know, working with advice practices now, what are some of the benefits advisors often like underestimate or miss when they think about switching systems?
Well, look, I guess it's that, I mean, like I said, a lot of advisors know what it is they need to do. And sometimes going on down that journey, they realize that there is this massive change management piece, but not necessarily in the way that they sort of expected. So yes, they know, okay, this is what we need to do to get more efficient, and this is what we're going to do to save on costs. But it actually goes deeper than that. And I guess when we start to talk more from a process perspective, we realize that by embracing a new technology system that will enable growth and scale, your whole business actually starts to transform all the way through to the client engagement piece. So actually getting your clients more engaged in your processes. So introducing things like interactive modeling. So advisors actually being able to sit down with clients and show them these what-if scenarios and really focus more about the client's future and the decision making, which can be extremely powerful. And previously they may never have been able to do that because they just didn't have that capability. So it's actually opening up so many more doors in ways that they may never have been able, may never have expected prior to that.
Yeah, it is interesting that when you think about the start to end process, I mean, we think about systems. Yeah, it's going to make our advice process easier. It's going to make things more efficient. It's going to be, you know, create better cost to serve, all of that. And also, we hope, but we really should be considering and building into the process, what do our clients get out of this? You know, what's in it for them too? Because, you know, we want to try and retain business, build our client engagement, put those fences around our clients, and a really good system, a CRM, can actually 100% support that. So then I guess once a practice decides the change, they've decided it's worth it, so that next challenge obviously is actually implementing it, right? And that's where real change management begins. The decision, I'm not going to say the decision is easy, right? But the decision is probably the easiest part. now the real work begins. So for yourself and Byfields, Chloe, once that decision was made to switch systems, what were the biggest pieces of work that had to happen inside your business to make that migration successful?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'd never actually had to manage a transition to a CRM in my role coming into Byfields.
Yeah.
And so for that moment when the decision was made, because I knew it needed to be made, I was excited, but I was also feeling like nervous because I'm like, oh, am I going to get this right? Like, is it all going to go smoothly? It's my first time too. I'm learning with everyone. But the good thing is that we did have the support that we require. But also, once we decided to make the decision from a management level, we also did a trial. So we made sure that I got key people in different teams. So paraplanning team, I had a key person in admin team, myself was included. We and an advisor was included, and we collaborated in trialing the different sides of things.
Yeah.
Once we trialed it, we were like, all right, this is good. I think we can see potential there. We committed. Once we committed, we had, as part of the onboarding process, you had to do different modules for it, right? And it came down to planning, because different modules go from like six different modules, and then it starts at different sections of the advice process. And I kind of had to, I worked closely with the onboarding team to make sure that whilst the modules were like 1 to 6, certain bits of the modules I prioritized ahead just to make sure that my data's in there first. I'm getting the templates ready for my team so that when they start training, they kind of know exactly where to find things. So you're spending a lot of time doing things behind the scenes. But in saying that as well, we had an attitude that we all committed to as a team. Firstly, our visions were aligned as to why we were doing it. Yeah. We heard from the team. They said that they wanted a change, and we committed to the change. So we said that the reason why we're doing this is because we've heard from the team. It's for our clients too, future, and it's going to be productive for the business down the lines, even though we know that it's going to be challenging up front. Mm-hmm. Secondly, once we committed, I said to my team, the mindset that we're going to have going into this project is that whatever frustrations we have, we're going to try and turn them to solutions. We're allowed to vent in the moment with the frustrations. Like, let's give ourselves each 3 times of like one thing that you're annoyed about. You can voice it three times, but once we hit the third time, we're going to be like, all right, what can we do here to overcome this? And then through the project, it wasn't smooth, as in it was easier than I expected looking back now. And I'm very proud of my team and how we've overcome it. But I think that through the transition, of course, there were team members that did struggle. Of course, there's a team members that find it overwhelming. But I also like to share with you that I had a team member that was going through cancer treatment during this process. And I'm so proud of her because my whole team went through this module training. She did the module trainings too. You know, she wanted to work through her treatment to keep herself busy and stuff like that. But I'm so proud that we got to there as well. All my team members stepped up. The paraplanning lead stepped up. They work so well together. We created a chat in Teams and we named it Plutosoft. And literally in that chat, it was everything that was Plutosoft related. Any changes, anything, any discoveries that we found, we shared it. So I think everyone soon turned their nervousness into like, all right, we can do this. There were roadblocks along the way, like certain things we were so used in seeing at our previous software that we couldn't see in Plutosoft. But we worked around it and now our system works fine, you know? So I think in that scenario, mindset and mind frame initially, and you need a direct, you, if you have, like in my case, I've got three directors. I'm so blessed that three of my directors like committed, and they, even though they might have different opinions internally, we showed a united front in the way that we were going to go this project. And so I would say the transition went easier than I expected.
And I think on that, I mean, when you say the transition went easier than you expected, that may, of course, that may well be the case. But, it does sound like you put in the change management work, right? And, you know, we keep talking about psychology, and I'm a massive, massive fan of psychology and financial advice and what it can do for people. And, you know, you keep saying your mindset was important. Everyone had to be on the same page. I really liked, this was something you said really, really early on just then, was that this was the first time you'd done this and you were learning with everyone too, because there are a lot of people in the Ensemble Advice community and who listen to this podcast who may be smaller businesses, who may be large businesses. And I don't know about you two. I used to be a financial advisor as well. I ran a practice for the better part of, 10 or so years. And we didn't have a change manager. We didn't have a project manager in place. We don't have that resource. So when you wanted to get things done, someone, an advisor, the owner of the business, the head of the paraplanning team, someone has to step up and do it. So I think that that's actually a really interesting call out is that, it can be done. We just have to recognize, what we want to achieve and bring everyone along on that journey. So thank you for sharing that, because I think that those sorts of stories really, really help bridge that gap for advisors who might be considering making this change but don't know where to start or how to start. So then, Leanne, from the technology provider side of things, what should advisors expect a well-run migration process to look like?
Yep, really good question. And I think I'll just sort of start by saying that, and I guess congratulating Chloe for doing such an amazing job of their onboarding. She did everything exactly as she should have. The empowering a key team driver or a champion with to represent each area of the business, and getting their buy-in from day one. So even as part of the due diligence process, before even making the decision to move over, she had that. She had everyone involved, which just meant then that the responsibility and the accountability wasn't just with one particular person. And this, I guess, is quite prevalent in a larger team, where you don't want to be the only one who's making the decision and having to convince the whole team. You got to get the team involved, and I think just having a key driver and champion representing each area just means then that you've got that dual sort of alignment, as you said, with everyone, and they're all invested in the process, and then they all want to make sure that it works. Everyone feels well supported. You've got fantastic leadership coming from the top, so the advisors are involved in the process. It's not just a tick and flick approach and, okay, this is what we want, and the team, it's up to you guys to make it work. Everyone's sort of working in sync in different ways, but I think that that's really, really key to a successful change management. And in a smaller team as well, where you've got you know, smaller groups. You obviously naturally in a smaller business, you are wearing multiple hats anyway. So just having one or two key drivers as part of that change can be really, really powerful. And Sasha, as you said, this fall of businesses tend to make decisions much quicker, but the same principle applies, is getting really hands-on. And to answer your question in terms of what sort of helps make that a successful transition is definitely looking for a software provider that has a very well-structured onboarding program. Mm-hmm. So making sure that it is structured, it's got really good, good, clear training, a good foundation, good, robust data migration as well, because that's often where a lot of the fear is in the changeover is, well, what's going to happen to all my data? Where's it going to end up? So having a system that really supports a good data migration approach, regular check-ins. So obviously being heading up the customer success team, making sure that you've got good support personnel to go to within the software provider that understand your journey, that can walk that through with you and act as really good coaches to help nurture everyone through the process. So definitely having a good software tool in itself is part of the solution, but the other part is making sure that it is well implemented and going with a provider that is going to give you that support and that reassurance throughout the whole plan, from day one all the way through to all the way throughout the whole journey of change.
100%. And I think one of the things we covered and came up in episode one was, you know, it's really tempting to chase the big shiny new technology piece, right? Doesn't matter whether it's AI, doesn't matter what it is, but you hear about it, you go to a conference and you hear about it and you think, oh, that sounds amazing. And you decide to implement. It's a very top, you know, very top dictatorial almost. This is what we're going to do. This is what's going in. Launch it. And everyone is very unsettled. It can be very unsettling. So, you know, for myself, I really resonate with all of the change management and the education and the capability building, because that's a lot of what I do now. So I'm very passionate about that side of things in financial advice. Is there anything, Leanne, that you've worked with advice practices who have been pleasantly surprised at parts of the migration that were easier than they expected? And conversely, anything that people have come back and said to you, geez, that was actually harder than this particular thing was harder than I thought it was going to be in this process?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. And I guess we sort of work with all sorts of practices, all shapes and sizes. And we've migrated a lot of practices over from all different systems. So I guess having a good structured data migration process is definitely going to alleviate any gaps. And obviously having that experience in doing so and having done it for so many times definitely helps minimize any issues. But look, I mean, you are also trying to, I guess one's got to also be realistic about your expectations as part of moving over. So if you are changing CRMs, you are moving something over from an entirely different system into a new system. So there is always going to be some information there that doesn't or may not carry across the way that you expect it, but it is also a new interface. So often it may be in this CRM, it's stored in this particular location, whereas in this CRM, it's stored in that location. So just, I guess, having a good sort of understanding of sort of the scope and where the end data points will end up definitely helps to address those sorts of issues there. But they are different systems, so the whole sort of process behind it will be a little bit different. So definitely we have had practices who have been quite pleasantly surprised with how the information how the information ends up, and then again, it's just really aligning expectations to ensure that that everyone's sort of on board. And I think what tends to work well too is understanding from day one what are the key data points in your existing CRM. So some practices may only be using certain elements of their CRM and may not have some practices may be a lot more relevant than others or a much higher priority. So it's just understanding those sorts of that sort of detail prior can definitely help when going through the process, because every practice, although it's the same process, sometimes the inputs and outputs are slightly different.
Of course. Yeah. So then I guess bringing it back to your experience, Chloe, was there anything that your team was pleasantly surprised at and anything that your team did think was a bit harder than you thought it was going to be with this transition?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we didn't quite plan for was unexpected. I mean, we knew that there was going to be a time off between the old CRM to the new CRM because you have data transferring, right? So you can't really put stuff in, and the other stuff, you can't put stuff in your old CRM. So what happens currently for the business that is still going on day to day? So what we did from that is when I realized that there was a lot of files on hold, because we couldn't upload some data in the new CRM because it's still behind the scenes, and then the old CRM was still in transition. We use SharePoint, because currently we use SharePoint anyway with regards to our online folders that we have in there. So we use that as a temporary storage for any documents or any correspondence in the interim. And then when everything was ready, ready to go with Pluto, we transitioned quite quickly. So those are the things that we had to think on our feet as we go. And obviously there were times where, like, oh, as Leanne was saying, things look different. Some of my team members found it challenging, not being able to search things a specific way, not being able to look for certain, like, folders are in just different sections of the thing. But we did talk about that. We know that with the change that was coming, things will look different.
Yeah.
But it just takes time for us to get used to it. What I didn't really allow with my team is that I didn't want them to start spiraling. So when things started to look a certain different way, instead of being like, oh, I hate this, this is like, you know, all that, I did allow them to vent. I understand, because everyone's going through the processes. I mean, you're learning from scratch. They're dealing with the identity from being an expert with something to now not knowing anything and then feeling overwhelming. It's so many things at one time, right? But I think if we, with regards to spiraling, we made sure that it was controlled in some way, and that, like, all right, I know you're currently in a grieving stage at the moment,
which is so real. Like, that is real.
Yeah. And so, like, I think accepting it sooner that this is going to be, it will allow us to overcome it. And because everyone grieves at different stages within the team. But you know what? When we got to the point of all accepting and realizing that, hey, it's going to be better for us once we get through it, my team, they grieved, they accepted, we moved. And I am so proud of them. And with the modules, I know that all of them did it all. Like, even though people can go into modules. I mean, the software team can only help you to a certain extent to be like, yep, you need to complete this modern stuff. But a lot of it is also self-directed and self-motivated. But I think because we made it a team challenge, it made it a lot easier. Because we were like, all right, who's going to complete it first? And then, like, we will celebrate each other's wins. Those that complete it, we incentivized them. We're like, leave, you can leave early today. It's a Friday. Like, well, you know. So we did all these different things to keep our spirits up. Well, I honestly think that they killed it. Like, my team killed it. I'm so proud of them.
Always having the bigger picture in mind too can help with that sort of process that I guess Chloe was mentioning before, where people feel, oh, this is overwhelming. But, you know, always not losing sight of that. You know, this is the reason why we decided to change. We were trying to reduce a tech stack or reduce costs or be more efficient or have more control over our system and our business. So just keeping that front of mind at all times, you do start to see the light, and you're able just to move forward and get out of that rut quicker than others. So not getting too caught up in the trenches and worrying about, you know, oh, what's going to happen here, is actually just keep that bigger picture in mind, keep reminding and supporting each other, and then your team will, you know, they'll continue to drive and move forward.
You know, it's interesting. Well, I know we were laughing a little bit then about things like, you know, the grief of the process. But when we talk about these quite deeply psychological transitions that have to happen, this is bigger than just putting a new system in place, right? And I think we do have to be mindful and have empathy around the fact that this is a legitimate grief process, especially if you've been a business who's used a particular solution and process and setup and tech stack for 10, 15 years, right? So I really appreciate both your comments around that, that we have to be mindful of that in our advice team, but also we do have to, you know, move through it together. I also really liked what you were saying, Chloe, about incentivizing and gamifying this. because, you know, people can get a little bit with doing training, right? And so incentivizing it, and we laughed again, you know, letting people leave the office early, but that works. It's the old carrot and stick approach, right? It really does work. So thank you for sharing those experiences, because again, advisors who are listening, this is gold for them, because you guys have done it, and they, you know, we can now think about it in our own advice processes and think, okay, well, how am I going to cross that bridge when I come to it, because it sounds like I'm going to, rather than have it be that surprise. So look, I guess, you know, for yourself, Chloe, looking back, now that you've been through the process, it's you know, embedded, what is one thing that you would do differently or do earlier when you're thinking about that migration?
For me, now knowing what the process looks like now, I think I would do a lot of data cleanup prior to the transition, because we kind of like did it as we go. Also, whilst we did plan for it to be a quieter time within the year for the transition to happen strategically, I would give myself more realistic expectations about how much longer the transition may take, because things can happen through the way. So those are the two things. Hopefully I don't have to go through another change again, but like those are the two things knowing now. Knowing now, I think that's what I would do differently. I would do quite a big data cleanup before the transition.
And I think, in all honesty, I know that, you know, we all, the advice community, knows how important the quality of data is, but I don't think we really appreciate it until we have to do something like this. Like the integrity of your data in anything that you do, whether it's sending out marketing emails or making a CRM switch, cannot be understated. And you're never going to get it perfect. There's always going to be things you have to fix, but I think it's really important that you called that out. So for Leanne, for advisors who are thinking about making the switch, the switching system, say the next couple of years, right? It's in the back of their mind, they're starting to think about it. What preparation work could they start doing now on top of a nice data cleanup, an intensive data cleanup? What changes could they start doing now that would make that process so much smoother?
Yeah, definitely. I would say a few things, just probably more around surrounding yourself with a network that is supportive and embracive of change. So that could be, you know, ensuring you've got progressive peers, supportive suppliers, a licensee who encourages growth. So I guess don't feel beholden to a system that will just limit scale and limit your growth potential. You want to make sure that you're surrounded by, I guess, peers that will be supportive of the change process and will be willing to, you know, even go on the journey with you as part of that. So having good networks, good positive support around you is super key to it. And I think not also kicking the can further down the road. Sometimes change does feel hard, but it is often never the right time to change. And the longer that you leave it, the more procrastination creeps in and makes that bridge, like I said, feel even further. So it's really just knowing, okay, this is what I need to do, and just, I guess, biting the bullet and going down that path. You know, provided you've got that support around you and you've done your due diligence, just the quicker you do it, the sooner you do it, the sooner you'll start to see the benefits and the efficiencies really start to sink in.
So the old rip the Band-Aid philosophy with good change management processes around it. So don't just rip off the Band-Aid and then run away.
Exactly. Exactly right.
And of course, you know, some of the things you were saying just then are very much a prime example of a sunk cost fallacy, right? We've invested so much in this system, in this licensee, in this process. It's too hard to change. And that may well be true, but it may not be what's in the best interests of your business, your clients, and your team members, right? Mm-hmm. So it is a big decision. So as we round out the podcast, I always like to end off my episodes by asking our guests, if you could give our listeners one tip in this process when considering switching software providers and that sort of thing, if you could give them one tip, what would it be? Chloe, I'll start with you.
I think it's definitely clarity before change and finding the alignment in terms of why we're doing this. And I think obviously once you get the buy-in from the team, everyone has this same clear vision it's easier to walk towards that because it's going to be such an emotional process for everyone with this change. So I think when we all stick to like what's our why, it makes it so much easier in moments of frustrations.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. Yeah. Clarity. That is an extremely important tip. I really think that's a valuable one. Leanne, what about yourself?
Yeah, I guess probably just to sort of reinforce that. So really coming down to why is it that we are needing that change? And I guess understanding that from the beginning and always keeping that front of mind, and then that will naturally lead, everything else will follow. So if you feel that you've got too much of a tech stack, it's too much manual data, entering data from here and all sorts of different systems, it's if the need there is to reduce that tech stack, then keep that front of mind and go down that journey, do your due diligence and find that solution that will support that. So keep coming back down to why is it we're changing. And then when you do feel that you, if moments do feel a little overwhelming, then you've always got that to hold on to. And then again, you'll start to see the light and the change will become easier as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Chloe, Leanne, thank you so much for your insights and really sharing some very detailed and very personal lessons in that episode for our listeners. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm sure it's given our listeners a lot to think about if they are considering undergoing this change. And remember, everyone, you can do this. Rip the Band-Aid off just with some structured change management around it and it'll all be fine. So thank you so much for joining us.
See.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.